From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
Once again, we count it a privilege to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. On today's program, Dr. Cairns commences his second message in a series of studies focusing upon the various occasions in which the Lord Jesus Christ referred to himself by that ineffable name, I Am. This is the name by which God revealed himself to Moses in the burning bush. And during his earthly ministry, Christ applied this matchless name to himself, clearly declaring his deity, that he was and is God manifest in the flesh. Dr. Cairns will be with us in just a few minutes. First, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon.
This morning's text is found in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 11. It is a faithful saying. Paul has four of these faithful sayings. The first occurs in 1 Timothy 1 and 15. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. The next is in 1 Timothy 4 and 6. Godliness is profitable unto all things, having the promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. The third is in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 12. It is a faithful saying, if we suffer with him, we shall also reign with him. And the fourth is in Titus chapter 3 and verse 3. This is a faithful saying, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. We may trace a connection between these faithful sayings. The first one lays the foundation of our eternal salvation in the free grace of God, as shown to us in the mission of the great Redeemer. The next affirms the double blessedness which we obtain through this salvation, the blessings of the upper and nether springs, of time and of eternity. The third shows one of the duties to which the chosen people are called. We are ordained to suffer for Christ, with the promise that if we suffer, we shall also reign with him. The last sets forth the active form of Christian service, bidding us diligently to maintain good works. Thus we have the root of salvation in free grace. Next, the privileges of that salvation in the life which now is and in that which is to come. And we have also the two great branches of suffering with Christ and serving with Christ, loaded with the fruits of the Spirit. Treasure up these faithful sayings. Let them be the guides of our life, our comfort, and our instruction. The apostle of the Gentiles proved them to be faithful. They are faithful still. Not one word shall fall to the ground. They are worthy of all acceptation. Let us accept them now and prove their faithfulness. Let these four faithful sayings be written on the four corners of my house.
Trust in
What is revival? Is it a week of special meetings held at a local church? Is it an organized effort at door-to-door evangelism? Down through the centuries, there have been remarkable visitations of God during which thousands were gloriously saved. Times such as the Protestant Reformation, the revivals in England under John Wesley and George Whitefield, the Great Awakening in America associated with Jonathan Edwards, were times of genuine spiritual revival. The common factor in all of these events was an undeniable demonstration of the power of God rather than the ingenuity of man. In the late 1940s and early 50s, such a revival occurred on the Isle of Lewis, off the west coast of Scotland. In the course of several years, hundreds of people were converted to Christ, and many churches were built to take care of them. Again, the Holy Spirit of God came down in power. The preacher during those days was the Reverend Duncan Campbell. Yet what took place on Lewis was not due to his pulpit oratory, but to the overwhelming moving of God among the people. Strong men, hardened sinners who had mocked the preacher, were suddenly struck to their knees by the roadside under conviction of sin. Young people in a local dance hall left their frivolity and ran to the churches, crying for mercy upon their souls. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to make available CD copies of the personal testimonies of people who came to salvation during those revival times on the Isle of Lewis. Also, we offer a CD containing Duncan Campbell's own account of that remarkable visitation of God. The CDs are $5 each, which includes postage and handling, or you may order both CDs for just $8. To obtain your own copy, you may simply send a check for either or both CDs to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just request the CDs of the revival on the Isle of Lewis. If you wish, you may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. You will be blessed greatly as you listen to these accounts of the power of God at work. Today, Dr. Cairns brings the next portion of the third in a series of messages on the I Am statements of Christ as found in the Gospel of John. On 7 occasions in this book, the Lord Jesus used of himself that name which belongs to God alone, the name by which God revealed himself to Moses in the burning bush, I Am that I Am. The text for this message is verse 12 of John chapter 8. The context is the narrative of the woman taken in adultery, whom the Pharisees said should be stoned. In their effort to place Christ in an awkward position, they found themselves rebuked and defeated. Immediately following that confrontation, Christ declared, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. By this statement, the Lord Jesus Christ emphasized that he alone is that light, the only Savior of sinners. In expounding this text, Dr. Cairns first speaks of the person of Christ as the light of the world. As we'll see, the embodiment of Christ as the true light is eminently suitable to all that the Lord Jesus is in himself. And now to bring God's word for today, here is Dr. Alan Cairns.
When he says, I am the light of the world, the emphasis is on the I, and I alone am that true pillar of fire, the essential glory of the Lord Jehovah. I and I alone am the light, in that I am the author of wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. I and I alone am the Son of Righteousness, who can enlighten the benighted souls of men and women, driving away their darkness to bring the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. I am the light of the world. The full revelation of the glory of God, the source of all spiritual truth and understanding, the long-promised Messiah, the Savior of sinners from the darkness of sin and death and hell. This is the Savior's meaning, I am the light of the world. In making that claim, the Lord Jesus speaks to us about his person. I am the light. I think he speaks about his power as the light, because in saying I am the light, he means also I shed light. And of course, he gives us his promise. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness. And the idea is there that I impart life. I want us to follow the thought that the Savior's giving. First, he speaks of his person, I am the light of the world. You will notice immediately that he uses a figure here that's very prominently employed in John's gospel. If you go back to chapter 1, you'll remember that John in the prologue, says in verse 4 and 5, in him that is in the Logos, the Word, the incarnate Son of God, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Time doesn't allow us to digress too far here, but just in passing, let me say that for a long time, learned critics have criticized John for his prologue, and they talk disparagingly at times about how he, sort of out of his own consciousness and his own genius, how he dreamed up all these things, how he took certain things from Gnosticism and he inserted them into a Christian setting in the gospel. And it's all 100% learned rubbish. And if I could get a stronger word without being vulgar, I would use it. Absolute rubbish. Born in the pit, and that's the place to which it should be consigned. You will discover when you read the words of the Lord Jesus Christ And we have taken some of them this morning in John chapter 8, verse 12. That John took the words of the Savior, and of course by inspiration, he took those words and he wove those words into the teaching of this great theological statement in the prologue. And that has vast importance, that the theology of the apostles, even when it's not actually quoting the words of Christ, is an exposition by the Spirit's inspiration of the very words of the Savior. That's certainly mightily important when you come to study the theology of any of the apostles. And it scotches the stupidity, the rank heresy of so much of modern scholarship that would take what they call Johannine theology and hold it up against Pauline theology and hold that up against Petrine or Peter's theology, as if these men had each evolved a theology or a philosophy of their own. In reality, all they are doing by the inspiration of the Spirit of God is giving us an extended exposition of the very words and teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ. Be that enough then for that a little bit of controversy. I'm always glad to be able to have a twin-barreled blast at educated ignoramuses who know nothing of God or of divine truth. But there I will finish. Let's turn over to John's Gospel chapter 1 again, verse 9. I'd forgotten I hadn't read that. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Actually, the coming into the world describes not the men who are coming, but it describes the light. That was the true light, that coming into the world lighteth every man. Now chapter 3, and you'll see in verse 19, the Lord Jesus says, this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Then we have our text in John chapter 8, verse 12, I am the light of the world. That's repeated in John chapter 9, verse 5, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Chapter 12, the Lord Jesus raises this again. Verse 35. Yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while ye have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While ye have light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of light. And then in verse 46 of chapter 12, I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth in me should not abide in darkness. Now I want you to get the prominence that is given. This is not just some little dropped reference. This is not one of those things that's, you may say, is something like an embellishment, a little bit of drapery to a scene, but it's not of the essence of the scene. When the Lord Jesus says, I am the light, he is deliberately selecting a figure that he employs again and again and again and gives it great prominence. I want you to notice the exclusiveness of this claim. I and I alone am the light. Now, commentators have always said, I remember as a young preacher reading Law on Genesis, the Gospel in Genesis, and I underlined chapter, or should I say paragraph after paragraph. I was so blessed by reading it when he gave his evangelical message on let there be light. And he talked about the characteristics of light and showed them to be pictures of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's also true. Light is pure. Light is perfect. Light is essential to life. Now here you're getting to something very much to the heart of the Savior's claim. Light is essential to life. It's essential to physical life in this world. It's essential to the rational life of the world? That's a very big theological and philosophical statement. There is no reason to anything apart from Christ. That's one of the shades of meaning in the term the Logos. Nothing has any meaning apart from Christ. There is no such thing as logic apart from Christ. There is no rationality. There is no purpose. There is nothing in the intellectual world apart from Christ. He is the light of the world. We read, didn't we? This is the light that coming into the world lights every man. He is the one on whom every man depends, even his enemies, even those who deny him. They depend upon him for the very power of reason that they misuse to attack him. He is the light of the world, essential to its life in the spiritual and in the moral sense. In other words, when he says, I am the light of the world, he's making a massive and exclusive claim. He's claiming to be God, and he's claiming to be the Messiah. You think of the claim to deity here. There's an old Jewish commentary, a midrash, on the book of Numbers. While it goes back only to the Middle Ages, it carries, I think, in its words, the thoughts of the Jews from much, much earlier centuries. And according to this midrash on Numbers, the Jews prayed, O Lord of the universe, thou hast commanded us to light lamps to thee, yet thou art the light of the world. That was the Jewish understanding of this expression, the light of the world. So when the Lord Jesus Christ stood up to say, I am the light of the world, he is claiming to be nothing less than eternal deity. He's saying in a world that's full of false gods, the heathen have invented them by the thousand. In a world that's full of false gods, with people worshiping false shrines on every hand, I stand forth as the one living, true, and everlasting God, the eternal Jehovah. I am the light of the world. In a world of impurity, I stand forth in all the irreproachable perfection and sinlessness of eternal deity. He claims to be God. He claims to be the Messiah, who you will remember was promised in Isaiah 42 and 6, and again in 49 and 6, as the light. The Father says to his Son, I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and will hold thine hand, and will keep thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people, and a light to the Gentiles. So here is the claim. I am God, I and I alone, and I and I alone am your Messiah. Notice the graciousness of this statement, of this claim. He did not make it in judgment. He did not make it as a threat. He had just demonstrated that as the light of the world, he could penetrate the secrets of men's hearts. They had all watched that riveting scene in the temple when these Pharisees had brought a woman taken in adultery and had sought to use that to embarrass Christ. They had seen him penetrate the hearts, the minds, and the consciences of those hypocrites until every one of them withered and wilted under the penetrating light of the Christ of God. They had seen that. Such a one could have turned that light in judgment on every man there. But he didn't. This was not a threat. This is a word not to alarm as it could, but to bring hope to the hopeless. I am the light of the world.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.